Picture this, two guys trapped in the South Charleston Public Library. One guy loves movies, the other, well, he'd rather be watching reality TV. Can they survive each other's films? Find out on Real Opposites, a library podcast about movies, hosted by Josh and Aaron from the South Charleston Public Library.
Are we ready?
Teacher's pet. I wanna be teacher's pet.
Whenever you're done, we'll start.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to The Real Opposites. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Josh.
And today we're back to discuss our Christopher Guest episode with movies chosen by our director, Todd.
Hi.
And those are Waiting for Guffman and Best in Show. And I think we're going to go ahead and start off with Waiting for Guffman. Okay. So I guess the first thing before we talk about either movie, Todd, is if you kind of want to let us in on why you chose these.
I don't feel like it.
Why?
There's the podcast.
Well, that's the podcast. Let's go home.
Okay. We'll wrap it up right here. Weeks. And if you guys just thanks so much for listening.
So I chose these movies. I've seen them both hundreds of times, probably. Maybe not that many, but a lot of times over the years. I really like Christopher Guest. I like his mockumentary style. I think it's very influential on modern movies and television, especially. I love how a lot of the script is improvised throughout most of the film. And I originally chose Spinal Tap instead of Waiting for Guffman. I thought, you know, Spinal Tap's one of their more iconic Christopher Guest films, probably his most well-known, but I thought Waiting for Guffman might be a little bit easier to get into, and it's one of my favorite films of his.
So, now you have seen these prior to this.
Yeah, but like closer to like when they came out.
Okay. Which, Guffman's from 98?
96.
96. Man, yeah,
Best in Show's 2000.
Oh, okay.
So, Todd, you'd say these were like your comfort food movies?
Yeah. Throw them on when I'm just need something nice to watch. And I like almost all of his movies. I mean, they do start to get a little worse towards the end, but they all have their merits.
There's always some moment. So yeah, I saw them when they came out. I haven't seen them since, so it's kind of like watching them for the first time.
But you did rewatch them though?
No, I'm just going on memories from 25 years ago.
Listen, I'll put all of your time out in a minute. This episode is a hot mess, and we're like 5 minutes in. I'm going to need you to get it together.
Yes, Aaron, I rewatched the movies.
That's really good. I'm so proud you did.
The only time I don't rewatch them is if it's like something I usually watch, like Die Hard. Well, I'd watch Die Hard, but like something like that where it's like I know this movie backwards and forwards. I don't really need to rewatch it. I did rewatch these.
And are you a fan of Christopher Guest? Or?
Yeah, I like Spinal Tap a lot.
Yeah.
And I like him in other, like in Princess Bride and stuff. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen these in a long time.
Okay.
So like Waiting for Guffman in particular is the one I like the least of the two. It's still funny, but the only thing I kept thinking was like, this is just like, Parks and Rec took a lot from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is, I mean, you got like that. The kind of small town, you know, quirky characters in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, but just that kind of mockumentary feel where it's the, feels like, you know, it feels a lot of it's improvised.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was consistently as funny as Best in Show.
Oh, okay.
But the characters are very memorable. And overall, I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also liked it. I agree with you in the fact that we will talk about Best in Show in a bit, but I also liked Best in Show better. I thought I liked Waiting for Guffman a little less, but I'm a big fan of like Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara,
yeah,
and I like them together.
Schitt's Creek, right?
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say is some of this even made me had like a Schitt's Creek vibe to it, which they probably pulled from.
Eugene Levy's in Schitt's Creek, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's married to Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he probably wrote some of Schitt's Creek. His son, Dan Levy.
Yes, Dan Levy.
Is the guy
that wrote it.
But, I mean, Eugene Levy.
I'm sure they, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he, like, had some, or yeah. some of it's improvised, but it has that kind of, like, off-the-cuff feel.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched all of Schitt's Creek. I've watched a few episodes, but yeah. it has a similar... Schitt's Creek feels like...
I mean, it's more of like an actual TV show
yeah,
than a
kind of like a mix between like something
or
like this and like Arrested Development.
Yeah.
It's kind of the vibe I got.
But I think like the quirky characters and stuff from this yeah. kind of come off and, as stuff that could be in Schitt's Creek.
And Eugene Levy, you know, co-wrote both movies.
Right.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I definitely thought this one was funny. I love Eugene Levy as the dentist.
Yeah,
and I mean it had its great moments. I think overall, like I said, just overall, I think the other one was funnier. But I don't know. It was kind of funny just them getting together and trying to make this play for their whatever anniversary of the city. I really loved the stuff about the stools. That they
yeah,
made.
That was
you know?
Great.
I really like the character development throughout it, throughout both films. They kind of show you each character in a scene, and it's always, you know, super quirky. And then it kind of builds up, especially in Best of Show, it builds up to them traveling to the dog convention.
Yeah, that's another thing I liked is you do get, I think, in... Waiting for Guffman, it's done in little interviews about how what they think about the town or what they think about the play. But you get that one-on-one with them to, like you were saying, to understand the character. And then you get them all together. And it's pretty funny
it's
when
pretty
they all get together. Yeah.
Do you guys know what the why it's called Waiting for Guffman?
Because they were waiting for a man named Guffman.
It's a reference to an absurdist play called Waiting for Godot.
Oh.
That is about, so if you know that, then you know that Guffman's never going to show up. Because Waiting for Godot is a play about two people waiting for Godot, and Godot never comes, and all the, like, absurd hijinks that go on
yeah.
while they're waiting on this important man to show up. And so this is essentially a reworking of Samuel Beckett's play, Waiting for Godot.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
I did not know that either.
One of my favorite parts, and it was just where she mentioned the hijinks that go on, but the cutout when he's an alien, when Eugene Levy is playing an alien,
yeah.
and
yeah.
his head doesn't fit through the door.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
Because I thought during practice it didn't fit, or something weird like that, and then even in the main play it ended up still not fitting or something. I don't know. But I thought that part was pretty hilarious.
Yeah, and I like the fact that, like, there was the scene where he couldn't wear his glasses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's like, but I can't see without my glasses.
And he has, like, that lazy eye.
Yeah.
I like how, in general, the musical part is actually mm-hmm. pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I would watch yeah. that.
Right.
It's pretty funny and
yeah.
unique. And
for sure. So, I mean, basically the movie is about, it's like we said, it's a mockumentary. So it's set with a documentary style filming as if they're just interviewing these people in this small town that's putting on a play for their like 100th anniversary or whatever. And the director, who is from New York and supposedly did other things in New York. What was his name?
Corky.
Corky. Oh, that is Christopher Guest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Corky.
He's in like all Ooh. Of his movies.
Yeah, I knew he was in the other one. I don't know him well enough to know.
Well, he's funny. Plays a completely different character
right.
in Best in Show.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, he's funny. Corky was funny. Okay. So anyways, Corky sends out these letters to all these people in New York, and they get a reply from a Guffman that's supposed to come see the show. And I have no idea where I was going with that.
I think you're just kind of recapping the plot.
Yep.
Yeah, but I was going to lead into something.
Oh.
You were talking about how you liked Corky specifically. I just saw a trivia here that with Josh saying he liked the musical section, in the early cut of the film, the musical ran 40 minutes.
Yeah. I would watch
wow.
that. I'd watch a musical of that.
It was at least 20 minutes or so.
It's a good section of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The final third almost.
Yeah. And they are trying to put on their best show because this Guffman's supposed to be there. And I think that's why, for me, like, the alien part was so funny, because they're just trying their hardest, but it's the littlest things that's going wrong, like, you know, the alien not fitting through the door,
or
Eugene Levy trying to
do without
his glasses.
Kind of the funniest, the most entertaining part of the movie is these little, like, small town people trying to, they want to make it big and get to New York, and how they're trying to impress everyone.
Really, like, you mentioned aliens. I really like the scene with David Cross. And he's, you know, David Cross from, like, Mr. Show and all that.
Yeah.
He's surveying, like, a crop circle. And,
oh, yeah.
And he makes a comment, like, no matter what, inside this circle, it's always 67 degrees and a 40% chance of rain. That was his only scene.
Yeah.
So
Bob Odenkirk's in, like, one little bit too. Like, I don't even know if he says anything. He's in makeup.
Yeah.
Maybe it's during one of the casting, like one of the auditions.
I don't know if I noticed that.
Yeah. It's in the trivia too, but I remember, because I love Bob Odenkirk. He's awesome. He's in a deleted scene, but he's also, like, there in the movie.
Huh.
I think it's during the auditions because he's wearing some weird makeup.
I read that the only parts of the movie that were actually scripted by Christopher Guest and Eugene Levy were the lines in the musical Red, White, and Blaine. So everything else was pretty much ad-libbed or, you know.
Improvised.
Improvised, yeah. That's the word. And that's the musical audition. The musical auditions were the actors' first public performance of that, their, like, audition piece. So it was, like, completely off the cuff. And
I love when the guy, does a Raging Bull scene.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't really repeat that, but. Paul,
yeah, I really like that. And Paul Schrader and Martin Scorsese are credited in the film because they use dialogue.
Yes.
Oh, really? That is great. I was just going to say, I just think overall it's a funny movie for sure. I can see how it's one that you would put in. Like, you can totally just be playing in the background while you do other stuff, for sure. And it would still be funny. There's definitely physical comedy as well that is good to watch, like Eugene Levy's Lazy Eye.
Yeah.
So that is pretty funny.
I don't know if, like, Best in Show feels more, like, focused. Mm-hmm. And under control. And this thing with this one is it feels very improvised. Feels like they started off with there's a we're putting on a musical, and that's
right.
That's pretty much it. So the appeal is the quirkiness of the characters and mm-hmm. their unique, you know, twitches and traits and everything.
Right.
And it felt I just think the Guffman felt too, like, just all over the place for me. Even though it's the mockumentary, like a documentary, like King of Kong, for instance, will still feel like it's building to something. And this one felt a little, like, once they get to the musical, that's the part I enjoyed the most.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff, like, I mean, all the characters are great and all the actors. And it's crazy that they came up with everything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really impressed.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, it feels like it's all improvised, because it totally was. But I do get where you're saying that there's, like, a little bit of a lack of structure for it to really pull you in.
Yeah.
I think that was my issue with it, too. It was funny. It definitely was. But it did just feel, it just felt like it was kind of, yeah. Although, you know, what you're building to is the musical itself.
Yeah, so, like, once they got to the musical is when the movie kind of started to work for me. I wasn't really, like, throughout most of the movie, like, I laughed a couple times, but it's mostly just like, it's funny.
I had a lot of those.
It's like amusement. It's not like a full belly laugh.
It's kind of like dry, deadpan kind of humor.
Yeah. I think because it's improvised, the timing is not as sharp.
Point.
As it would be if, like, you maybe come up with something, but still, like, rehearse it a couple of times to get the timing right for a movie.
Yeah.
Which I think they do. And, like, I'm sure, like, in Parks and Rec and The Office, there's quite a bit that's improvised.
Right.
Yeah.
But because I think they rehearse more, it's less just off the cuff like it is here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the timing is a little bit better. And I think when we get to Best in Show, like, it's like, man, I was laughing.
Yeah.
I was laughing my ass off the whole time. Throughout that movie.
lines.
But it had a lot. I think it was a very funny movie, but it was very funny in a sense where I didn't really laugh.
Yeah.
It was just like in my head, I was like, that's funny.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
So, I mean, it was enjoyable.
There wasn't anything.
It just didn't produce a lot of like actual out loud laughter for me.
I had tons of belly laughs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I think it's funny. It's not that it's not funny.
I mean, it might be one of those things where it's like the more you watch it, the kind of more little things you pick up about
I would say it's definitely one of those movies.
Yeah. Because it's more like visiting friends.
I feel like it's probably one of those movies where it only gets funnier.
I mean, just as something as simple as like Parker Posey sitting talking about working at the DQ.
Yeah.
Like, no, I love, I love that part.
That is just so funny. And then the end, like when it's like 6 months later or whatever, and they're talking to her and she's working back at the DQ.
Yeah,
again.
They said I could come back.
She's working on something healthy, a healthy blizzard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, it does have tons of funny moments. And I think you might be right in the fact that it only gets better the more you watch it. Mm-hmm. You'd probably be more used to the quirk of the people. Therefore, I think their lines would hit a little harder. So, I mean, it's definitely something I could throw on again and listen to.
I'll totally.
Yeah.
I think Christopher Guest makes infinitely quotable movies. Because when I was like, oh, I'm watching Waiting for Guffman for work, I was talking to a friend. He launched into the DQ speech and like nailed it. And I was like,
yep, that one.
You know, it really speaks to like how like funny and like related, like kind of like relatable his content is, that it just like sticks in people's heads the way that it does.
It's very quotable.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
I like the scene when it's towards the end when the guy quits the show and Corky's talking to him on the phone and he goes off on him.
Yeah.
I think he says, "I hate you, you ass face."
Something. Yeah. Something like that. For sure.
And then Corky stepped into the role.
Which was amazing.
That's how it had to be.
I was telling Todd this when we came in here, but if anyone has ever seen Pitch Perfect, the announcer in Pitch Perfect is supposed to be doing a Fred Willard impression from Christopher Guest movies. So specifically this one, specifically Ron Albertson. He's the guy who like, the older guy who's like very awkward and says like just really cringy things all the time, but has like a very like classic like 50s kind of look to him. So in Pitch Perfect, the announcer character is supposed to like basically be him.
See, I thought it was based off of Best in Show, because isn't that the same actor that is the announcer
is
in Best in Show?
Yeah.
He's basically, they just told him when he walked in, be Fred Willard in any of Christopher Guest movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fred Willard is totally underrated.
Yeah.
He's great in this.
And
Best in Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. Best in Show is the same thing. Like, just totally inept, doesn't know what he's saying. Like.
Yeah, their audition scene, his and Catherine O'Hara.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. Hilarious. It was great.
Don't you love her hair?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Does she have, like, the big, like, hairspray?
Yeah, yeah, like a little like poof.
Yeah.
Poof thing. But yeah, I thought that was another great moment, was their audition.
Yes. Their relationship is funny.
It is.
Like, they've never traveled out of Missouri.
With their travel agents.
Yeah.
They talk about travel all the time, but they've never traveled.
Yeah. He did leave to go get a minor surgery, though.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's where we find out, you know, not all doctors want to see what you've had done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did like that was like mentioned throughout the whole movie.
I would like to know why Corky's pants are backwards.
His name's Corky.
I said Corky.
I know. I'm saying Corky. He wears his pants backwards.
That dance scene when he's in his house dancing.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't have been as funny if those pants were all right.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, and you were saying the dance or the musical part was so much longer. It took Christopher Guest about a year and a half editing almost 60 hours of film to get this done.
Wow.
That is a lot.
A lot of editing. A year and a half of editing.
That makes me want to cry.
Yeah. But, I mean, it just shows that he's very dedicated to the craft. And I think that, especially when you're doing something so off the cuff and everything like that, like there's probably a lot to cut out. I mean, imagine making, how long was this movie?
I mean, it's only not even 90 minutes, I don't think.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, imagine if it was video of 90 minutes you had to edit of us. Right. That face is what I was thinking. Like, that would be rough.
Listen, if we ever go to video podcasts, you just get what you get.
No worries. We're not.
You could bring props on, though.
You could bring props.
We could occasionally do a video podcast.
We do. Once a year at HerdCon.
Once a year at HerdCon.
Speaking of which, catch us at HerdCon. This is Meryl Streep's favorite movie.
I saw that.
Yeah. That's interesting. Out of everything ever made, this is her favorite.
It's a good movie.
It is good.
It's funny.
It is
funny.
Sometimes it's nice to laugh.
It's a cute movie.
I respect that she didn't pick like something that's in the top 10 of cinema or like something, you know.
Right.
I feel like there's so much pressure when you're an actor or an actress to like know your stuff, and like that's well and good, but like sometimes what you know is good and what you enjoy are different things.
True.
And I respect that someone who like thinks of themselves as such like a serious like actor is like, you know what I like? Waiting for Guffman. I think that's kind of.
It's a solid choice.
That. I'll take that.
Well, like Christopher Nolan apparently likes Michael Bay movies. So
yeah, wow.
Who does?
Christopher Nolan.
Oh,
that's funny.
I mean, like people like. I mean, Waiting for Guffman isn't a Michael Bay movie, but you know, like isn't as bad. It's like it's a great. I mean, like it's a high. It's an esteemed movie. Like it's highly regarded for a comedy.
I didn't even think of this when I was watching the movie, but Parker Posey and Matt Kiesler were. And a movie together, it was Scream 3. Mm-hmm. I totally didn't think of that. One? What is it?
Who's the other one?
Matt Kiesler.
He was the guy that quit the show, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think he plays also one of the movie versions of one of the characters.
Oh, in Scream 3?
Yeah.
No.
Because Parker Posey is Gale Weathers.
Are we changing All Roads Lead to Crossroads to All Roads Lead to Scream 3?
Maybe. I think it's been a while since
6 degrees of
this one
Craven.
Doesn't I don't think anything so far leads to Crossroads on here.
Ugh.
So far.
I'm sure you'll figure out a way.
Was it what were you saying, 6 degrees from Courtney Cox's haircut?
Oh, that haircut.
So you guys liked the movie?
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I think it was a really funny movie. It just, for me, wasn't a belly-laughing movie. It was a, huh, that's funny.
Yeah, I get that.
But I like those kind of movies, too. I like that it's not constant big laughs. Like, you know, sometimes just to throw a movie on that makes you smile a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're not laughing, but like you got a little grin on. Those are good too.
I think all of his movies are like that.
Yeah.
Best in Show might have more laughs in it for sure. But yeah, most of them are like that.
Yeah, I think I'm assuming these are the only two I've seen. So I'd have to I would say that I'd watch more though, based on these. I think Waiting for Guffman was the first one I watched.
The one after this would be A Mighty Wind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like every, I think that was like 2005 or 2006.
It has a great one-liner in it too.
Oh yeah?
What happened?
Oh, hi.
Oh,
Mark.
I wonder if he saw the room.
I don't know.
Like, I'm going to steal that accent.
That's funny.
One of the things that's always impressive to me with Eugene Levy is like, he's like, I mean, like he's a super recognizable guy, mm-hmm. but like he just embodies his characters so well that I feel like sometimes you forget it's him for a little
right.
bit.
That's what I was saying. Like, him. I really liked his portrayal of the dentist, and I agree. I mean, you can't miss those eyebrows. So it's, yeah. You know, it's him, but at the same time, like he does really embody, especially with the lazy eye. And he's good at that physical comedy, but that's not over the top. It's small things that make a difference.
And he goes in and sings and makes it seem like he's so nervous and like awkward and in exactly the way you would expect like that guy to be.
And is audition.
And I like one of the kind of common quirks among all of them is that they're trying to impress the whoever is the camera person,
mm-hmm.
whoever's making this.
Whoever is making it, by the way. I don't know that that's ever mentioned.
Yeah, I don't think it is. So whoever is making this documentary about this small town and interviewing these people, and that's one of the common traits, I think, among most of them, is that they're trying to impress both the people interviewing and whoever, you know, Guffman.
Yeah.
And I think kind of at the end, they just kind of maybe collectively realize that it's okay to just be a normal small town person. Like, you know, it's not the end of the world if you don't make it to Broadway.
Yeah, they were a little disappointed at the end when the guy came in that they thought was Guffman.
Yeah.
They're like, "What do you think we have what it takes to get on Broadway?" And he's like, "Yeah, I think so." And they're so excited, and then they find out he's just in town for a baseball game.
Yeah.
So sad.
But him, like, he's got like his little store at the end. Corky.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. In New York.
What is the collection of stuff he's got? Shoot.
He's got action figures from movies.
Yeah.
I forget the names of the movies.
One of the action figures.
There was something he had like a lot of.
Yeah, those lunch boxes.
Remains of the Day lunch boxes.
Remains of the Day lunch boxes. Yeah. That might be the funniest thing in the movie.
Yeah. And then one of the
best scene actually.
Yeah. One of the collectible figures in Corky's shop at the end of the movie is Cliff Arquette in his Charlie Weaver outfit, and Cliff's son Louis Arquette played Clifford Woolley, the narrator. So I'm assuming Clifford Woolley was making the documentary.
The one making the movie.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay.
Are they related to like the Arquette family?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. It doesn't say that. Oh, that was the other one. He had a collectible figure of Anthony Michael Hall as in 16 Candles.
Jim Baker was in 16 Candles.
And then...
Because when he popped up in the movie, I was like, oh, that's the dad from 16 Candles.
Yeah. Which one was that?
His name's Jim Baker. He plays, he plays one of the UFO abductees.
Nice.
He's a little bit like an older guy.
He got probed.
He's the one that got probed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for sure. So funny. Like, it was that was the other thing. Vibes. There was a lot of random stuff in this.
Yeah.
Like that. It was just that just shows you what that town's like.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that.
Yeah, I want to live in that town. It seems great.
Yeah, maybe. It also seems like I might get aggravated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to live in this town.
Yeah. I might live like the town over and visit.
It's fine to watch them in a mockumentary, interacting with them on a daily basis.
That's what, yeah. Like, I might visit them.
Yeah.
But I don't know about living there.
I don't want that guy for my dentist.
Also that.
Like, yeah. Yes,
with his, like, oversized glasses and...
Yeah.
Oh.
Those thick bottle ones.
Yeah, bottle cap glasses.
Oh, that lazy eye. So great. To wrap that up... I mean, I guess we're at the end of the discussion for this one.
Yeah.
You kind of liked it?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, it has its moments. I'll probably like it more next time I watch it.
Yeah.
So I'll be watching it.
So it's not, at least it's not like.
No, I didn't. No, I liked it.
Crossroads.
I liked it. I think I still rated it like 4 stars out of 5. Oh, okay. So, I mean, I liked it. It's just not like, it's not totally my kind of humor.
Right.
Like I said, I think it would be better if it was a little bit more.
Structured.
Yeah. You know, not as off the cuff.
And I think you get that in Best in Show.
Oh, yeah. Best in Show feels like, whoosh, man, it's sharp.
Which we
it's
will like talk movie. About
yeah.
in just a minute.
All right.
And now, last question for you. Chris, on a scale of Christopher Guest movies, where does this fall for you?
The Waiting for Guffman?
Yes.
It's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's my favorite out of his. And then I'd probably go Spinal Tap and then Best in Show.
Oh, okay,
but they're all three like right up there for me. I like all.
I might go Best in Show.
Yeah,
like which we'll talk about.
Yeah, I mean I would agree. So
you should
far.
Watch Spinal Tap.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind to watch his other ones. Like I'm interested.
So he like Spinal Tap. He wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I think him. I don't know if Eugene Levy wrote it or not with him, but Rob Reiner directed it. But it still feels like this. But it feels like Best in Show. Like a little bit more. It's definitely more scripted. It's less improvised, and there's a lot of improvisation in the movie, but like some of the gags are just all-time classics.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I enjoyed both of these, and I think I will check out. Do we have Spinal Tap?
We do.
Look at that.
We have all of these.
Nice. In our collection at South Charleston Public Library.
Our collection is awesome.
This is true. It's
and
curated
stop
by
streaming.
Josh.
Come rent DVDs.
But if you do need to stream, we also have Canopy.
Yes, if you do, there's so much stuff on Canopy.
That's true.
I'm almost done with all my 30 rentals for the month. Or 30 credits.
I kind of forgot about Canopy already again, which I haven't been watching any movies, but I want to go through and watch the A24s.
They have so many A24 films on there.
Oh, they have a whole section of them.
Yeah.
There's so much like Grindhouse trash, too, and I love it. I'm reading this Grindhouse book, and like I'm like finding all the movies on Canopy.
Do you know
that's
what
awesome.
One they don't have?
What,
A24? The Witch.
They don't?
No.
Oh.
They did. The one with the antlers on the DVD cover?
No.
No, that's
not it.
Isn't
that's the wretched.
About
antlers?
Like a sheep. Bah.
That's a lamb.
It's, the lamb on the cover?
I think it's called a lamb.
It's no. That's not what
movie.
I'm talking about.
I'll
show you later.
They did not have The Witch when I looked last and the A24 options from.
I'm sure it'll pop back
story?
Up.
And it is my favorite one.
I haven't seen it.
I bet we have it in the collection.
We have it on Blu-ray.
I've liked every A24 film I've seen. Like, there's not been one that I didn't
like. I can't remember. Well,
they've definitely been.
I need to rewatch the one where the girl gets her.
What?
She does that and she gets her head knocked off.
Hereditary.
Hereditary.
Yeah. I need to rewatch that. I was not a fan of it, but I think that was circumstantial. I think I need to rewatch it.
It's a good movie.
But other than that, I there's been a lot of movies that I was like, oh, I like these, and it's A24. So
yeah.
Sorry. Whoever picks who they back does a really good job of like of picking movies that are gonna be good. Like
yeah,
you know, good scripts.
Whoever reads their scripts and is like, yeah, this one is good at it.
Well, I guess we're done talking about A24 since we did that, last episode?
We're just secretly, we want this to be a horror podcast.
I'm so bad.
Yeah.
We wanted to be a horror podcast so bad.
But don't worry, more horror's on the way, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, so Waiting for Guffman, I liked it.
It was all right.
You think it's okay?
It's
your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely three levels of...
enthusiasm.
Yes, yes. So, but we're going to go to some announcements from the library, and then we will come back and talk about Best of Show.
Best in Show.
Best in Show.
Hey guys, this is Toby here with some announcements from the library. In February for adult programs, on Monday, February 5th at 6 p.m., we have our first meeting of Fantastic Feast with the Cat Who Cookbook. You still have a couple of days to come in and pick out a recipe if you would like. Other than that, we will see everybody on the 5th for our community potluck. Tuesdays this month, with the exception of the 20th, we have Try It Tuesday. Try It Tuesdays are where I am in the community creative space from 3 to 6 to help people with any projects that they might have in mind. Saturday, February 10th, we have Stitch and Saturdays, which is where you can bring any sewing, crochet, embroidery, cross stitch, any kind of fiber art project that you're working on, and just hang out and have a nice social time. But we will also be teaching basic cross stitch on that day as well. On February 20th, we will have our first meeting, our first official meeting of the book club this year, the Spill the Tea Book Club, at 6 p.m. If you'll come to that having read Be Useful, which is by Arnold Schwarzenegger, we'll be talking about that book at 6 p.m. and we'll announce our next book that day. On the 26th at 5 p.m., we have our Dungeons & Dragons Club. We play Dungeons & Dragons here at the library. We have one table that kicks off at 5, and then another table that kicks off a little bit later for those that aren't able to make it right at 5 o'clock. So if you've never played Dungeons & Dragons before, just feel free to come by and we'll teach you how. And you're welcome to just join into that anytime. Thank you. And that is all for that month for adults, for this month for adult announcements. For children's programs, do remember that we have Spanish story times on Tuesdays at 10:30 a.m. On Thursdays, we have Words and Wiggles at 10:30 a.m. On Wednesdays, we have Teen Territory from 3:30 to 4:30. And then we are launching an all-new Saturday Story Time at 10:30, Saturday, February 10th. And then at Saturday, February 24th, we have Crafternoon at the library. And that goes from noon to 3 p.m. All right. Thank you so much, and we hope to see you at the library.
All right, we're back from those announcements from the library, and we're going to go ahead and jump straight into our discussion on the next Christopher Guest movie, Best In Show. Now, Todd, you said that you picked Best. What was the reasoning for picking Best In Show over Spinal Tap?
I just felt like Best In Show. Well, originally I picked Best In Show and Spinal Tap.
Right.
So I swapped out Spinal Tap with Waiting for Guffman. I thought Waiting for Guffman would just be an easier film of his to watch.
Okay.
And Spinal Tap is I don't know. It's about a metal band.
Yeah.
And it's different. But
yeah, these two are definitely more comparable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
There's a goal. There's some sort of like a not really a competition in Waiting for Guffman, but there's
something that
they're working towards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, I mean, now, Best in Show, I definitely liked more than Guffman, and I thought it was hilarious. Once again, Eugene Levy's amazing. I love that he has two left feet.
Yeah.
Literally two left feet. I died laughing when they panned down, and he just had two left feet. It was so good. Yeah. And that, again, his physical comedy.
They called him Loopy.
Yeah. They called him Loopy because he walks in loops.
Yeah. This one was like, man, right from the start, I didn't stop laughing the whole time, I don't think.
Yeah. Like, it definitely did that.
One of my favorite parts is Parker Posey and whoever her husband is. Oh, they're with, and their dog. And mm-hmm. they, you know, how the movie starts and they're in therapy.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And it's like the dog's just laying there on the right. dog bed. And they're just like always just, you know, all of their emotions are
related to the dog, or they attach them to the dog.
Yes.
Yeah, all their, like, everything they're going through and feeling, they're just projecting onto the dog.
Right, exactly.
And the dog's just like, I don't know, my dog.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. Like, when they have the competition, she has to run back.
Get busy.
Because she lost the toy.
She lost the toy, and it's just picking a toy, and it's...
The whole scene when she goes down into the toy store.
It's great.
Or not the pet store.
Yeah.
Pet store, yeah.
And he's like trying to find her a little bee-shaped dog toy. And there was like a little bear. She's that looked like a honeybee.
Yeah.
She's like, that's a bear.
And then he found one that had wings, so it was like comparable. But then she picked out like this weird one. And he's like, that doesn't look like a bee at all. And she's like, shut up. Hilarious. But...
go
ahead.
And I like Harlan Pepper a lot. The one with the hound. Is it a hound dog?
It's a hound dog. A bloodhound.
I'm a bloodhound man. I'm a
bloodhound man.
Oh, yeah.
He might be my favorite character.
That's Christopher Guest as well.
Yeah, it's Christopher Guest, too.
Just he was funny.
His drawl and his just very flat, monotone delivery. I could watch
just
that
a man
all,
and
I
his
could watch
dog.
That all day. Just him and that dog.
And... You know, it's Christopher Guest again, and two totally different characters in this and Waiting for Guffman, but pulls off both of them perfectly. His character in this one is pretty funny with the hound dog and just
He owns a fishing shop.
Yeah, just very monotone.
There's that scene where
he loves his dog.
They're at the reception before the dog show,
mm-hmm.
and he's talking to Parker Posey and her husband about fly fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You could just tell that they're just like, they want to get away.
He talks real slow, so like you can just feel like the pain of like trying to extricate yourself from the
like
conversation.
He's the same as the dog, kind of.
Yeah.
Like he matches his pet.
He's also a ventriloquist as well.
Oh, yes, that's
true.
Oh,
yeah, that was great.
That was great.
He's not bad either.
No. But, yeah, I thought I thought this was definitely the better one, which, I mean, this one is about a dog show, if you haven't caught on to that. But, and it, you get, in the beginning of the movie, you get that one-on-one with the characters again, like we were talking about, where they're interviewing them leading up to the dog show. And one of the people leading up that I was so excited to see, and I didn't know was in this, was Jane Lynch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She is hilarious.
She's great.
And she's like crazy over this dog. And because they've won like the past three times or something, two times.
Yeah.
I don't know. But when she popped on screen, she was hilarious from first second on screen.
I liked seeing Will Sasso there for a second.
Yes. He plays what? Like a. A friend or an employee?
He is a fishing hole guy in the, in the script.
He runs the fishing hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that scene where he's like, he's getting ready to travel to Philadelphia, yeah. And he's telling Pepper, Harlan Pepper, he's like, are you going to go fishing? And he's like, no, I'm going to a dog show. And he's like, they got rivers and lakes in Philadelphia?
Yeah, that was another good surprise, because yeah. He's funny.
I love Will Sasso. He always makes me laugh.
I like anytime Jennifer Coolidge is in anything.
Oh, yeah.
She's hilarious.
Yeah, she was great in this, of course.
Oh, yeah, she's the wife. The
future lover of Jane Lynch.
Yeah, but she's married to the old...
She is the, Anna. Yeah. Anne, what's her name? Anna Nicole Smith. Like, the same thing as Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that's what they're parodying.
Yes,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I saw her giving an interview the other day about she hates when she has to play a loser in something because they'll, like, dress her up and, like, make her look frumpy, and then she'll forget that that's what she looks like. So she'll go to, like, hit on someone or talk to someone with the same confidence she normally does.
That's funny.
And they're just like, please get this woman away from me.
That's great.
She was talking about doing it on, like, I think Legally Blonde was the one where they, like, frump her up super hard.
I've never seen
that.
And
they were like, she was like, it was an awful experience.
She's just funny in general.
I really like the scene when they first interview her with her husband, who's like probably 100 years old.
And he doesn't move at all.
Yeah. And she talks about their love of talking and not talking.
Yeah. She's like, you just never know what we might talk about or not talk about. And he's literally just sitting there like with his mouth open.
We both love soup and snow peas.
Yeah. I did think it was going to come up in the end that he died and like she was really rich or something and they got together. They do get together in the end, Jane Lynch and Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah.
But I thought that was going to be a bigger thing since it was such a big thing at the beginning.
Yeah, they never really went back to that.
They didn't circle back at all. That or like he died and he really didn't have money or something like that. But they didn't circle back to it. I would have liked that. But this one, I think Best in Show definitely delivered more out loud laughter for me. All the characters are just so funny. I don't know.
Well, it just feels like Waiting for Guffman to me is like the warm up for this.
Yeah.
I feel like they kind of learned a lot on how to do it, how to edit it, how to structure it to a certain degree. And I mean, this one just right out of the gate was. And then it's like over before, like. It feels like it's just done.
It's
so quick.
It felt like,
okay, we're already at the dog show, and then it's like 10 minutes later, it's over.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
I did think this one flowed a lot better, and it was over.
I could have watched another hour of it. Like,
yeah.
It was so funny.
Speaking of the dog show, I love that Catherine O'Hare's character, Cookie. First of all, Cookie was well known. By a lot of men.
I know.
That was
one of my favorite running gags in the movie.
It was so good. Even when they went to like her exes. She's like, it's fine. And then like her ex makes out with her.
Yeah, well, he's like, well, as soon as they get in and the ex is just like, goes to like Eugene Levy. And he's like, hey, stay here. And then he takes her around.
Shows her
the house.
And
then it just like goes into Eugene Levy's like.
Yeah. Like just thanking. Yeah, so that was great. But then you get to the dog show, and she hurts her leg or something. And then Eugene Levy has to do it. And he takes the dog out, and he has to walk a certain way to try to keep the dog straight because of his two left feet. And they, like, show a zoom up of his feet while he's walking the dog.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was hilarious.
Fred Willard kind of calls him out as well. Yeah. He's like, I have two left feet.
Just great physical gag. And
the other commentator was like, yeah, that's something we can actually agree on.
Yeah, because, man, the Fred Willard, so funny commenting on this stuff, and it was about nothing about dogs.
He
just was somebody they hired off the street, basically. Like, he knew nothing about dogs.
Right.
So remember what we were saying about Pitch Perfect? John Michael Higgins, who plays the announcer, is in this movie. He's in the gay couple, so, like, he...
Oh, wait. I thought the announcer was the announcer.
No. Fred Willard plays the announcer. The guy who plays the announcer in Pitch Perfect, John Michael Higgins, is in this movie with Fred Willard.
Oh.
So that's why he does it so well when he goes to do it for Pitch Perfect.
Clearly, I thought they were the same person.
I don't know if Fred Willard and Adam West ever made a movie together, but that would have been gold.
Yeah.
Both of them, I feel like they're just kind of like very similar. How they deliver their lines. And
yeah.
It's really... very funny.
Yeah, he had so many funny lines.
All of his stuff where he's commenting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I say. It was, half of it was not even dog related. Or if it was, he didn't know much about it.
He had the idea for the calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I say. There's so many good gags in this one.
Yeah.
It's
pretty layered with comedy. Like, I think if you rewatch this one too, you would find a lot more.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And I think the characters are better drawn in this.
That's what I was getting ready to say. I think I'm more drawn to these characters.
Yeah, I mean, they're more clearly defined.
Yeah,
and there's continuous running gags throughout the movie,
mm-hmm.
like with Cookie and her various male friends.
Yeah,
and like the, you know, how unstable the catalog people, as Christopher Guest calls them,
yeah,
the Parker Posey and that couple. They're my favorite in the movie. They're so funny.
I love if their dog like ended up attacking them or something.
Yeah,
it's Michael Hitchcock, by the way. Since we keep just not saying that actor's name,
like, I know him. Well, he was on like The Office and I think Parks too. So like I know his face. I just can't.
Yeah,
I love when they talk about at the very beginning of the movie about meeting each other. And he's like, I was at one Starbucks and she was at the other Starbucks and I was on my Mac and she was on her Mac.
Yeah.
I'd go to the one Starbucks, but then she'd be over at the other Starbucks.
So good. But I don't know, the full circle of them end up getting attacked by their dog that they were putting all their feelings onto.
Yeah.
Right, that happened, the dog attack?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just making sure. Well, because something like that actually happened to me in real life. I didn't get attacked by a dog, but there was this lady where my mom used to walk, and we would ride our bikes while she walked, and this lady had this big, like, poodle, I think, but it was...
That's a big poodle.
Do poodles not get this big?
They get big.
Not quite that big.
No. Like a normal poodle, like not a little baby.
Like this.
Not a baby ankle biter, but like a poodle.
Yeah.
Like a poodle.
A standard poodle.
Yeah. And it could have been a bear. I don't actually know what kind of dog it was, but they...
Bears are dogs?
Huh?
Are you saying bears are dogs?
Bears are not canids.
We need to have a...
No, I just couldn't think of another name of a dog.
like a Newfoundland?
I kind of was thinking about that after I said it. And I was like, none of that makes sense. Yeah. But she would always be walking her dog, and she would always yell and be like, don't ride your bike near my dog. And we'll be like, okay. So then we'd walk her bikes past her dog, and she'd still be like, get those bikes for my dog.
Is the dog like behind the fence, like in a yard or something?
No, she's walking the path too.
Oh, she's walking the
path. So like she makes the choice to bring her dog somewhere that people walk and ride bikes. And it wasn't very long after that we were in Kroger and saw that lady, and she was black and blue all over. and her dog had attacked her.
Oh my gosh.
And it felt like sweet vengeance. Sweet revenge. I don't know which word I meant, but it was one of the most glorious things that ever happened to me. Because she got hers.
She got hers.
Karma keeps receipts. But anyways, that's what I thought of when I watched this movie.
Where do we go from here?
Where do we go?
Rosie did get real braces.
She did.
For the movie?
Yeah.
That is great.
Purposely told Fred Willard to not research anything about dogs, which clearly
he did not.
He did not.
They were like, please show up knowing nothing about dogs. Forget everything
you do know about
dogs.
As if you've never seen a dog before.
That's great, though. I mean, he was hilarious.
How do you get a little dog like that? The guy's just like breeding.
Very true. That was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, like, this one says they also have like 60 hours of footage that was filmed.
Yeah, so maybe that was just a thing that Christopher Guest did.
Need to do a director's cut, or they need to make footage available.
Yeah,
I would watch a lot more of this. Not so much Guffman, but this one I would totally
just
watch.
60 hours of Best in
Maybe
Show.
Not 60 hours.
That's a push.
I could do for like another hour if they made like a 2.5 hour director's cut.
Yeah.
I would watch that.
So Eugene Levy did have those great Terrier songs in the movie. Mm. He actually wrote both of them. And then, you know, at the end, they're making their own CD and him and Catherine O'Hara is singing the Terrier song, and I died. It was so bad, but I thought that was hilarious that that was their new endeavor.
Yeah,
was to create music for terriers.
And then of course she knew the record producer.
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, that had not stopped. And it was always so funny because they'd be like, "Cookie," and she'd be like, yeah, she knew, but like she didn't know who that person was.
Yeah. Well, at the very beginning of the movie, they're interviewing Gene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, and she's like talking about her past relationships, and she goes, I've had hundreds.
Yeah.
And then he's like, hundreds? I didn't know that.
Yeah. She just says it so nonchalant. Just, yeah, I had hundreds. I just read that to ensure the film got a PG rating, Meg's drug use was edited from the final film.
I think that makes it better because it just makes it a mental health issue.
Right. Yeah. It just makes her
more manic.
Yeah. But that is funny. I could see where it would have been drugs, but I do kind of like that it wasn't.
I like the
sad
Bob Balaban as he's like the doctor.
Like the therapist?
Line. Yeah. See the therapist?
He's the he's like the head of the dog show.
Yeah, he's the head of the dog show.
Oh, okay.
And then he was the musical instructor in Waiting for Guffman.
That's right. Yeah, I remember him more in this one. He always plays a straight man like that. Really easy, like his deadpan like looks
right
at the absurdity going on around him is always very welcome. I like him a lot.
I don't know that I would have picked Cookie's dog to win. I don't know. I felt like there were a lot of cooler dogs there.
I was really hoping that Harlan Pepper's dog would win.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's who I was rooting for.
They had a little one, too, didn't they?
He had a bloodhound. Bloodhound.
Harlan Pepper.
Oh, Harlan Pepper was the character's name.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. That was Christopher Guest.
Christopher Guest.
Yeah. I would have been okay with that. Although, clearly, I don't think he would have won, but I don't know. It was just funny.
Which dog did... Who won? Cookie won?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't have got that scene with...
Terrier.
The two left feet.
Terrier.
Yeah.
I hate terriers when they're like... their hair's so long. They just look ugly when their hair's really long.
Oh, I love the scene when they're visiting their friends in Akron. And you mentioned it earlier, but the little boy like slips off and like... He ends up, he's on the top of the shed with a parachute.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that. He's about to toss the little terrier.
The dad is trying to talk him down. He's like, I'm going to poke a fork in your eye.
Oh, my gosh. I totally forgot about that. That is a great scene.
He's the, the hostage negotiator.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, okay.
And they're talking about how he's like lost. You know,
he's most, they like, all they all jump.
The most indifferent hostage negotiator ever.
I think, is it Eugene Levy's character that asks him, like, well, how many have you talked down? And he's like, oh, I mean, they all jump eventually, yeah. You know? But all we can do is try. And then you hear that he's like, I'll poke your eye out. Well, no wonder. No wonder nobody's successfully talked down. Oh, man. I feel like this is definitely a movie that definitely made me laugh more, but
yeah.
Is one that I think the more you watch it, you'll find little things as well. And it seems like maybe that's just how a Christopher Guest film would be in general, that it's just that kind of movie where you do find little funny parts every time, which is nice because it makes rewatch better.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many little eccentricities everyone has.
Right.
And a little... I mean, it's just like there's... It's so much funnier, so much... There's a lot more laughs that, like, you mm-hmm. kind of miss stuff by the when you're laughing. You
right.
So
very
I'm,
true.
I'm definitely going to rewatch this one.
Yeah. I think I will, too. Because just even that, the scene on top of the garage, like,
yeah.
I totally forgot about it until you mentioned it. And it's not a long scene, but it's hilarious. Like, everything yeah. that happens in that scene is great. So, and I think this one has more of that. Like, but I don't know. I mean, Waiting for Guffman had its own feel, and it had funny parts throughout it as well. So, I liked both of them.
Yeah. I did.
I'm glad you both liked them.
Yeah. Like I said, I think I liked Best in Show better than Guffman.
Yeah, for sure.
But
I could see why you choose that.
Yeah.
I think it's the most accessible film of his.
Oh, okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it's by far his most popular.
Oh, okay. Which one?
Best in Show.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That or Spinal Tap. But.
Yeah. Now, is Eugene Levy and Kristen...
Are they in Spinal
Catherine
Tap?
Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, are they in Spinal Tap?
No.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Gene Levy might be somewhere.
He might be in
like
it.
A little bit role. Oh, I don't okay. think. Catherine
I just
Harris
love them together. Mm-hmm. They're,
oh,
so
they're
great.
Great.
But they're in. I think A Mighty Wind.
I think they're in. Yeah, everything.
Oh,
else.
Yeah.
But no, you know, Eugene. Spinal Tap has. I don't know if you know him, but I mean, it has Christopher Guest, Michael McKean. Harry Shearer. No, okay.
Yeah, I'm just looking at you blankly. I'm sorry. But you got to remember, I'm bad with names. Like, I forget y'all's names most of the
time. I mean, Harry Shearer's mostly known for Simpsons anymore.
Oh, but I watched that.
He's, I think, is he Mo?
Used to. He's the mother?
He's Mo.
Oh.
Bartender.
Okay.
I think he's Mo.
Is he?
I believe that's correct.
Principal Skinner, Kent Brockman, Mr. Burns, Waylon Smithers, Ned Flanders, Reverend Lovejoy, Dr. Hibbert.
Wow.
He's pretty much half the cast.
That's a lot of good characters.
Yeah. But he's not Mo, so I was wrong on that one.
I think Mo's Dan
He's almost
Dan
every character except Mo.
Oh, is that Dan? Okay.
I think it is.
It's who?
I think it's Dan Castellaneta.
It's the same guy that voices Homer.
Mm-hmm. Homer.
Yeah. I mean, I think the films were influential. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
for
definitely.
Sure.
That's yeah, all I could think of. I mean, I was partly distracted in Guffman just because I was like, man, this is just like Parks.
Yeah.
It's not quite as funny. But
I could see where they draw stuff. And like I said, I mean, I could see it in Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
I could see them drawing some of the quirkiness of the characters and stuff, mainly from Guffman.
Yeah.
But I feel like it had that feel too. And it might be because it also has Eugene and Catherine O'Hara. But
this might be a stretch, but I don't even know if you would have like Wes Anderson movies without Christopher Guest. Mm-mm. Like the whole, it seems like he kind of started that whole like kind of quirky vibe.
What's Wes Anderson? Have I watched some?
Like Rushmore, Royal Tenenbaums, Asteroid City.
Oh yeah, that's the ones I want to watch and I haven't.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a fan.
I think you would
I mean,
like
Rushmore
them,
came out.
Huh?
It came out in the 90s, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't think... I mean, it wasn't...
Like 99, maybe. Or...
I don't get like a Christopher Guest feel from his movies.
No?
Some of the characters
especially,
I do, though.
The kind of quirkiness of the characters and the dry humor, and that's what I
yeah.
pick up from it.
I mean,
I get
the style is
feel.
Not at all the
no.
same, though.
No.
He's more influenced by like silent movies and than anything else.
Yeah, the art and cinematography is much different.
It'd be nice
if
we made a different movie, but you know.
But I do think some of the characterizations are kind of similar, though. They've like got a bit like an awkwardness at second hand, like embarrassment kind of feel to them. I could see that. Did you know that Jane Lynch was cast off of a Frosted Flakes commercial?
That Christopher Guest directed, I think.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's why he cast her.
So is this her like first big thing?
Probably.
That's the first thing I saw her in.
Yeah.
I really wish they would have shown her makeup.
Like, I know.
Like that had to be hilarious.
I would have loved that. But that whole scene is funny though.
Yeah.
I don't know. The characters in this one they really got me.
Well, the way they all great. You take all these characters from different kind of walks of life and you throw them all together and they all interact. That's right. I think that's part of the appeal of this one versus the other one where they're all kind of from a small town. They're not really.
That's true. They already know each other kind of thing.
Yeah, and there's not as much spontaneity from their first interactions together. So I think that's what makes this, especially once they get to the dog show.
Yeah, because in this one, they're all from different states and everything.
Yeah, and one of my favorite scenes in this one is like props to Ed Begley Jr., he plays the hotel manager.
Mm-hmm.
When, was it Cookie and Eugene Levy can't get to they don't have enough money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He gives them the janitor's closet.
Yeah, like the janitor closet, the maintenance room. And like, we'll get a cot and some blankets and, you know, it'll be okay. We'll spruce it up or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's great. Still loved it.
Yeah, and they kind of foreshadowed that too because they showed that room before that scene.
Oh, yeah, they did, yeah.
Oh,
it had all their like cleaning products for the dogs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because they're interviewing him about the cleaning products.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which were all like name brand products. So I'm guessing they either just used those or they paid for a little ad there.
Yeah, yeah, I'd noticed some of those products before. Yeah.
Because they had to put on the dog show. No dog show would let them film.
They probably needed that. That was the most expensive
part of the movie, I'm assuming.
Was actually
they had
having
to, like,
a dog show.
Rent this kind of civic center space or whatever.
Right. I didn't even think of that, yeah.
Have a fake dog show.
Although a lot of the handlers and everything were real dog handlers. So I imagine they just put like a call out to any.
Right, for extras.
Yeah, for extras. Yeah, and on top of everything, it's just fun to watch dogs.
Yeah.
They're, you know, dogs don't hurt.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think that about wraps up our discussion of the Christopher Guest movies. Thank you, Todd, again, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We always have fun with the movies that you pick. If you want to go back and listen to the other ones, we've done...
Troll 2.
Troll 2 and Best Worst Movie...
Ever.
Ever. And then we did...
The Room.
The Room.
King of Kong.
King of Kong.
King of Kong.
And The Wizard.
The Wizard, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And The Wizard.
And our last live show was a Todd pick also.
That's true, too.
It was Conan the Barbarian and Masters of the Universe.
If you've never watched our live show, we did it last year at HerdCon. And you can get that on our YouTube. It actually has video.
There were literally dozens of people... Not there.
Yes.
It always reminds me of what my grandpa used to say when I played sports as a kid. He'd always say, if you look out in those stands and you don't see me, it's because I ain't there. And that's exactly how it was for all of the people wanting to see us live.
Yeah. It felt like a Billy and Christopher Guest movie. This little quirky... library podcast, like, we're going to go to a HerdCon convention and we're going to put on a live podcast. And there's crickets.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get picked up by Spotify.
Yeah. We're going to be millionaires.
We are on Spotify.
We are on Spotify.
We are. But speaking of HerdCon, we are going to be at HerdCon again this year, minus
me.
Yeah, I forgot your name.
I forget it too sometimes. I'm totally forgettable. I just blend into the background.
We're going to be at HerdCon again this year, minus Josh. But most likely we're going to do like a collaboration if you want to come out and see that. We really appreciate saw some live people.
Yes, it seems like as of right now, the plan is to do a collab with the HerdCon Popcast.
Yes. So we're hoping something will work out there. Regardless, we will have a table there if you want to swing by and say hello.
Yep.
And it's HerdCon's fun. It's free. So
it's a really good convention. Go.
It is. And especially for it being free.
Yeah. And completely free. I was really impressed with all the vendors last year.
Yeah. They had all kinds of good ones.
Too much money.
Yeah. You and Toby both bought a lot of things.
Toby's dropped a couple $100 right away. And I was like, wow. On a giant, enormous 3D printed sword.
It was. Yeah. It was Frostmourne from World of Warcraft. If anyone out there plays that at all, it glowed in the dark and was amazing.
I didn't know it glowed in the dark, though. Or glows in the dark. I don't know.
Glue in the dark.
Yeah, had rare earth minerals that they used to paint the runes. And so when it gets dark in the room, it glows. It's in my living room above my game table.
There you go. So anyways, that's something that's coming up. But I guess the next thing we're going to do, well, first of all, we will be having Todd back again soon. We're going to do a wrestling episode.
Oh, that's right, the wrestling episode.
Wrestling. Oh, okay. We're going to talk about wrestling.
So that will be in a couple episodes, so look out for that. But our next episode will be coming out. Are you going to release it on Valentine's Day or will it be out?
I can put it out on Valentine's
Day. We should do it on Valentine's
Day. If we record it before Valentine's Day, it can come out a day early.
We'll record it.
Okay.
So we're going to say it's our Valentine's Day episode. And since if you've listened to the podcast, that's probably, of course, my favorite time of the year. Not. We are going to go with some horror movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to do...
Back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Yeah. So we are going to do My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah, the original 1981 movie.
And then the remake from
2009.
Okay.
That stars Jensen Ackles of Supernatural fame, for those of you out there who are
The remake
fans.
All the remakes of 2009, Jensen Ackles did My Bloody Valentine, and Jared Padalecki did Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
I actually really like the Jared Padalecki Friday the 13th, though. I think it's all right. I mean, it's better than a huge swath of the sequels,
I think.
It's
better than a few of them.
Yeah, everything after 6.
Yeah, it's fair. Except for Jason X.
That one's fun, but it's not necessarily good.
I'd still watch it over the 2009 one.
Welcome to our horror podcast.
I like Jason in the 2009 one. Yeah. Everything else is kind of eh.
Yeah.
But I like Tater Sack Jason.
I think the opening in the 2009 one's really strong. I think that after that, it kind of it falls off a little bit, but they really nailed the formula.
Mm-hmm. It does a pretty good job.
Sorry.
So back to the regular podcast.
If anything,
podcast.
The kills were just kind of lame in this Friday in the 2009 one, aside from the opening.
Yeah, the opening kills are good.
Standard machete kills.
Yeah, the girl gets hung up in the that one's
bag.
Great.
Over the fire.
Yeah.
She's burning alive. It's really awesome.
While her boyfriend is stuck in a bear trap and is trying to get to her. Like, that's a really intense, great kill.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about, Jason laying so many traps, though.
Yeah, he does. I mean,
he doesn't really do that.
No.
It's more just spontaneous. I sense people are having sex. Let me kill them. Or doing drugs.
Well, to be fair, that is what attracts him in that one.
I mean, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I guess the sleeping bag, you could just say he's just he's just oh, there's a fire and there's a sleeping bag. I know what to do.
Yeah. It's not really, that one's not really a trap so much as it is just that's how he chooses
is.
To kill her.
Maybe the bear trap isn't his either.
Yeah.
That's true.
He just gets caught in a bear trap.
Could have just been there.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yes. Enough about the supernatural boys in horror movies. We'll talk about that next podcast.
So I think we already did. But so for next episode, we're going to do My Bloody Valentine, the original and the remake.
Yeah.
You have seen the original. And I've seen the remake.
I've maybe seen parts of the remake.
Okay.
But I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah. And I think I've mentioned the remake a couple times on here when we've talked about 3D movies and stuff.
Yeah, because it came out, I guess before. I think it was still the old, or it was very, it was.
It was old school 3D because I like the old
it
school.
It might have been real D 3D because by this point you'd had Beowulf.
Oh, okay.
And that was full, real D, what Avatar was, where the glasses are clear. It wasn't the red and blue.
That was the first.
No,
movie I saw
it was. It was not like Avatar. It was the old 3D where it's coming at you.
I mean the glasses, the old school glasses.
I think
where
they were
red and blue.
I think they were still red and blue.
Were they? I have to look.
I think.
Up.
I do not think. because I went to see this movie when it came out.
I don't remember. All I know is I really liked it because like there was an axe that was thrown or something, and it looked like it was coming right at you.
Yeah.
And then there was a scene where there was like a hand or something, and it looked like it was hanging out of the screen and dripping blood like onto the carpet. I just remember that. I remember I really liked the 3D of this movie. I don't really remember. I remember liking it back then. But who knows? I mean,
this might have been the first R-rated movie I ever went to see in theaters. My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Interesting.
Yeah, it totally had the 3D glasses, like the ones that you currently use. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was 16, man. Like,
this is the thing. I don't know.
I wasn't allowed to watch R-rated movies. I snuck out to see this one.
Oh, I was like 40 or something. Who
Terminator
knows?
2 was mine. I was just reminiscing about this with my sister the other day because she took me to go see it.
Yeah.
I was 7, going on 8.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I saw going Pulp Fiction at like 10 or 11 years old.
Did you? In theaters?
In theaters.
Nice. I'm jealous.
Yeah. I like to have an older brother.
Saw what in theaters?
Pulp Fiction. Went way over my head. I mean.
Yeah. Well, now that we're done reminiscing.
Back in my day when we'll get back. The United Artists Theater.
By the way, I was not 40 when this movie came out. I just said that and I want to clarify.
You're not 40 now.
Right, yeah. I'm like 28. So.
No, you're not.
You were 28 maybe, you know, 7 years ago.
Anyways. All right, so that wraps up this kind of a mess episode. Thanks for trucking along with us if you stuck to this part. But join us next time when we will discuss the My Bloody Valentine's movies. And until then, I'm Aaron.
I'm Josh.
This is the real opposites.
Leave that. Do that.
Okay.